You know, maybe it's because I'm so trustworthy. After all the most trustworthy people in history had excellent mustaches. I mean, if you think about it, all the most trustworthy people in history had a mustache. So.
I was hoping there wouldn't be a countdown. I forgot about that. Because you had a mouthful of food. I just wanted it to start. Get you chewing on your cud there. What are we doing, Mike? You know, you're pretty close by to where nine cops got shot.
Yes. Yeah, and then what isn't? I think LA County is going for their supervisors.
Yeah,
4,000 deputies.
4,000 deputies. Yeah,
and then I guess I heard that the sheriff's Villanueva, I think is his name. His powers were stripped.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that LASD?
Yeah.
Let me see here. Here come the brown shirts, bro.
Yep, they're slowly but surely coming. Well, I mean, everything from schools to finances to, you know, everything. It's all surely but infiltrating every sector of life, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find it.
Well, it's not a surprise. I mean, Bible said it would be this way. In fact, this morning my reading was Zechariah 12 through 14. And, you know, there's messianic prophecy in there, a lot of that. But there's also the day of the Lord prophecy, you know, when Jesus comes back and plants his feet on the Mount of Olives and splits that mountain too. Speaking of which, I saw Amir this morning said something about Israeli officials concerned that a major earthquake, maybe not too far out, because it's had a few recently, smaller ones.
Well, I think we can just be spontaneous in our topic. You know, there's a lot of stuff. You know, the one thing, you know, when, we should pray first.
Do it, bro.
Let's pray. Lord, we ask you would just bless this day. We ask you would bless the topics that we're going to discuss, Lord. And Lord, we ask you would just allow Adam and I just to be led of your spirit and to be ones that could encourage brothers and sisters behind the badge. And Lord, we do ask that you would just be with those that are putting on their uniforms on a daily basis, Lord, that you would strengthen their hearts, Lord. And as Ezekiel talked about, that they would be the ones standing in the gap. And so we just ask for your blessing on this time, Lord, and for those that are going to watch and hear, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when you do mock exercises, mock drills, right?
Yeah.
In law enforcement, fire, military, we all, you know, there's all the different type of mock exercises. And when an event happens, I think you have sheeps and lions, right? You have those that go through the exercises, they have the uniform. And then when something happens, you're like, hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
And then when it happens, they're like, there's that hesitancy. They have that, you know, flight or fight syndrome where do I go balls to walls with my sirens? I need to go because the air said, hey, shots fired. Yeah. Or you're so scared that you're
going the other way.
Taking your time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all know those, you know, we've seen deputies, officers, troopers, you're just like, hey, it's the other way. You see their car go by.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Missed the exit. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, my radio was down. I'm not scanning, Kenny. Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of Christians like that too. You know, there's the Christians that are like, oh, we're in the end times. No. Jesus says there'll be famine, rumors of wars, and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
These things must happen, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
before the rapture of the church. And so like Jan Markell, you know, from Olive Tree Ministries says, things aren't falling apart, they're falling into place.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, it's just like, hey, this is exciting, right?
Yeah.
And if I was, and it's easy, I think easier for us to say this, I guess, from a believer's perspective from the States. You know, because if you're a believer in Russia and you're a believer in Ukraine, let's say, and you firmly believe in the expositional teaching of God's word systematically,
mm-hmm.
and you're living in Russia, and they get to Ezekiel 37, 38, 39, all that, right? They read Daniel, they read Revelation, they're like, holy smokes, this is talking about us.
Yeah.
Right? So, like you just mentioned, you know, Amir with Telegram and earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's an earthquake in California, bah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But an earthquake over there, I think, has a little bit different significance.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, I don't, that's just off the top of my head that I'm just kind of like, wow, you know. Things are surely falling into place. We know that in the news, Putin sending his military to the Ukrainian border, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always wondering, okay, what is our country doing? You know, and, you know, living in Arizona and being so close to Luke Air Force Base, we talked about it before we started recording. Every single day, I'm hearing those jets day, night, and we recently had a crash of a red plane, which is simulating an enemy pilot, fighter. Yeah. They were able to eject and have, you know, be safe and stuff, but a jet crashed not too far from here, and I was like, they're getting ready.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, just like locally. And I wonder how that's going to affect us locally too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In the midst of being woke and cancel culture. And unfortunately, you hear certain economists and certain people talking about, you know, war is good to change economy.
Listen, everybody's trying to spin everything as good right now under the old, you know, the current regime. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, but it's funny. Inflation is so good. It's good. It's good for you.
And I want to be like Christ when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know how do they not vote."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them for the way they voted. And I really try to, you know, look at that in a perspective of, oh Lord, please help me, you know. But we know as believers, God is in control. God has never lost control. He knows what's going on. But I think at the same time, we have to keep in mind, we're living in such exciting times,
mm-hmm.
you know, like never before. And yeah. So.
Well, I'd like to piggyback on something that you talked about there, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that beeping at my house? Sorry. Anyway, yeah, you talked about these military exercises. I'll just call them military exercises. You know, Russia is apparently just completing one, right? They were talking about, oh, we're going to be sending our soldiers back to their bases, you know, which from what I'm reading, whether it's true or not, you know, whether the media is true or not that I'm following, apparently they're not sending people back to their bases. They're sending them to the borders of Ukraine. But regardless, the point I want to make is that I think we're seeing the same thing, or we're feeling, sensing, dealing with the same thing in the spiritual realm right now, because the enemy knows that time is short, right? And so I think the enemy's doing exercises too. I mean, I don't know how it's been since your move, but I know for a good while there, man, you were dealing with some spiritual warfare that was insane, insane. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm dealing with the war for now, and I don't know that it's going to let up. I don't think it will, because I think the enemy knows his time is short, and he's grabbing everybody that he can. For example, I didn't tell you this. I think it was yesterday morning. John Cooper, the lead singer for Skillet, right? John Cooper. Mm-hmm. He's a strong Christian man, and he wrote up this, op-ed or whatever you call them, piece about deconstructionism in the church, about these Christians.
I saw the title. I didn't read it though.
Yeah, I read the article, and it was well written. You know, he's very articulate. He pulls no punches. In fact, he's getting, I would say, more aggressive, you know, the longer we go here, and especially if you've ever heard his podcast, Cooper Stuff. He's very outspoken, doesn't hold back. And so it was the same in this article. And so I commented on it and said something to the effect of, yeah, this is the effect of people reading the Bible and judging the word instead of allowing the word to judge them. Right? That's all I said. And the number of replies that I got was crazy. And last I checked, they're still coming in, but you know, the first one I got was this guy who puts scriptural citations in there, entitled, one of them said, where God commanded rape, and he put all these Bible verses, Deuteronomy, blah, 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 and then where God endorsed slavery, da, 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 and all these things on there, and you know, I don't take it personally. You know, people get to their keyboard and they turn into warriors. It's just kind of funny. But yeah. I did look up a couple of the verses that he was citing there. And I don't even know how you can get to that conclusion. You know, one's a prophecy. Like, hey, this is going to happen. You know, one was a prophecy of Israel near the end times. In fact, it's in Zechariah here. It says, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity. That's God telling us what's going to happen. It's not God saying, I'm going to command them to go ahead and do this to everybody. it's a result of sin and men being in their, or mankind being in our fallen state, you know. It's just kind of funny, and it was more proof to me that, man, spiritual warfare is off the charts, and you have these wolves, especially on social media, waiting for, you know, a sheep, and I don't mind being called a sheep. You know, Jesus called us sheep, and that's fine because I know who the shepherd is. But, you know, you have believers that will post and encourage, and then it's funny, the wolves catch on to that. And man, that's exactly what they're like, man, wolves. And I think there's an exercise going on in the spiritual realm, because the devil knows time is short.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we know Satan's blatantly open now.
Yeah.
Right? You got, you know, Biden, you know, let's go Brandon, endorsing a drag queen So to be assistant to the energy, whatever.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
You know, but you got teachers now who freely on TikTok, on a Chinese-owned platform, by the way, mm-hmm. who's telling their kids, her students, that she doesn't want to identify as this or that, and brainwashing out. I mean, where she gets the idea that she's not told how to instruct, I'm like, you know, if I'm not mistaken, it's like parents that pay taxes that pay a school salary.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, let's see a police officer try to get away with that.
Yeah, right? And I mean, literally, if anybody in the uniform tried to say something like that, you know, there's up in riots mm-hmm. and all that stuff. I was just speaking to a neighbor's wife. I'll leave her unnamed. But her, you know, when she realized, you know, I'm a former Fire Leo, and mm-hmm. she's like, oh, my husband was a chief. I was like, oh. I go, and they're from Washington. I'll leave the department unnamed.
Yeah, Washington's good enough. That's
yeah. And that's what she was like, well, not, you know why. I was like, oh, no, I get it. I go, I'm glad that you guys chose the right side.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I know Pastor Jack Kibbs and, you know, Calvary Chino Hills, he's saying we need to stand and fight. And I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
I also believe that, you know, as believers in California, they need to pray and they need to ask the Lord, do you stay and stand up and fight and lose everything that you have? You know? Or do you pray and ask the Lord, is this time to move on? Mm-hmm. You know? And I deal with a lot of friends, and I'm sure, you know, you have friends too that are like, well, we're in uniform, we have a job, I have one or two more years left and I'm, you know, that I'm vested, or I have one or two more years until retirement, you know. 1 to 2 years is a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And all hell, you know, could break loose. And so, but I think all the cards are out on the table because you have blatant sin out in the open, right? I mean, you have shootings that takes place. They got a slap on their wrist and they're let go. Mm-hmm. But if a conservative would defend their property, they get arrested and they're put in jail and they're not processed for days. You know, but you can go commit like heinous felonies and you're released.
Yeah.
And you can see the blatant sin out in the open and it's not a big deal anymore, you know. And you know, I know a lot of people in the past, they said, you know, there could be a revival right before the rapture, and it is possible.
Well, I'm already, you know, seeing to an extent, I'm already seeing it, you know.
Yeah. And this is where I think it's important for us to encourage our brothers and sisters in the badge. It's like, you wear the badge and you've sworn an oath to your agency and to the state that you serve, blah, 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 blah. But if you wear the badge and you say that you're a Christian, mm-hmm. your sworn oath is to the Lord first. And you can't be doing what these woke politicians are asking police officers to do. You know?
Yeah. I'm blessed in that that hasn't made its way to where I'm at right now, you know, but, yeah. But we can see it in New York, and I don't really know of any other examples other than New York, but I mean, that's a huge example, right? What a massive city. And then you have so many of these, sworn officers that are enforcing these unbiblical, I don't even know what to call it without getting censored, but you know what I'm talking about. And that's, it's not right. I get that we swore an oath, but if you're going to swear an oath on something, you should probably be familiar with the thing you're swearing on. You know, if I'm going to swear an oath to defend the Constitution, I should probably know what's in that document. And what's in that document may, in fact, forbid me from carrying out an order that I'm given. And my responsibility lies in that, you know, the swearing of that document before it lies in some arbitrary order. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I'm getting ready for Acts chapter 4, you know, this coming weekend, you know, verses, what, 13 through 23. That's how I'm going to section it. But
Calvary Chapel, you know, Peter, Buckeye. It's on YouTube. Check it out every Sunday.
Calvary Chapel Buckeye, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Peter and John were arrested. The Sadducees, or the religious leaders of the day, threatened them. And they responded like, hey, whether we're going to listen to you or God, that's up to you. But we, speaking for ourselves, we're going to listen to God.
Yeah.
You know, and last week I was sharing with the church, I was like, hey, whenever there's persecution, there's usually a revival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in some ways you can kind of see stirring of the hearts, revival taking place in different parts of the country and around the world, because they could see the religious churches versus relationship-based churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning it's a religion.
Yeah, this is how I get to God. This is what I do to get to God versus relationship with God. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, I mean, like New York, not only New York, but just to our neighbors up north. I mean, Ottawa.
Yeah.
You know, literally, I mean, I had to see the video like 3-4 times. Arresting a 80-plus-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he refused to identify himself. And then they're going to take away their fuel.
Yeah. They're taking firewood.
Yeah.
They were taking firewood.
And now they're
seizing firewood.
Yeah. I'm like, just stupid stuff. And then now they're, you know, exercising their federal executive powers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like you said, I think there's a major spiritual warfare taking place in around the world, because, I mean, stupidity is now in full effect.
Yeah.
And, all right, cool. Like, we're in the last days. This is what the Lord talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we ought not to be surprised. Where I get concerned and I'm starting to pray for is, you know, going back to a little bit of what I was saying about how, you know, Jack Gibbs is saying, stay and fight, right? When the righteous leave, the unrighteousness gets even bigger, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's crazier. And then, you know, in Ezekiel chapter is what? 26 through 28. It's the desolation of Tyre and Sidon, right? Both at one time prospered very, very well. And, you know, God tells Ezekiel, do a lamentation for Sidon, do a lamentation for Tyre. And it talks about how at one time they were so prosperous, and then now it's bare rock. It's a bare rock,
mm-hmm.
a barren land. And when I was kind of reading it, and we, you and I both know, United States is not technically mentioned in the scriptures at all.
Yeah.
But like when I was reading Ezekiel in those chapters, speaking of like I think chapter 27, where God's telling, you know, Ezekiel to lament for Tyre, how there was, it was very wealthy, food, ships, commerce, everything, and then bang, gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, could this be United States one day? Very well, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you and I know prophetically the United States needed to be out of the picture, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. Yes, they do.
But I think where I get concerned, as I was saying, for our brothers and sisters in uniform is when you're standing up for righteousness, at some point we all have a price to pay. You know, and we have our limits. And they're just going to replace the good cops, the good firefighters, and the good soldiers with unrighteous ones that are not qualified, can have no character, and they're going to do it for money. You know, and I don't care what agency it is, but when you're an officer and you're, you know, purposely taken down, purposely taken down an 80-plus-year-old man because he failed to identify himself, you're no longer a cop. You're you know, in the pastoral industry. Ooh, that's a nice truck.
You still hear that?
Yeah.
I thought I had you muted. It's FedEx.
But, oh, FedEx. Mm-hmm. What'd you get?
I don't even know if it's me.
But, you know, if, you know, this is the thing. We both know, having been in uniform, or you're still in it, I'm not. You're, at the end of the day, I tell young cops and firefighters, you're just going to be a number, you know, and you have to keep that real. You know, most people will know you by your badge number and not by your name. And once you're gone, you're gone. You're going to be replaced. And the sad thing is you're going to be replaced by someone that's going to do what the wokest agenda wants. You know, the wife of the chief that I was speaking to out of Washington, he's saying, you know, my husband's a dying breed, you know, where I think they told themselves when enough was enough, it's time to retire and leave. You know, unfortunately, they retired, they couldn't stay there, you know, and so hence they moved to sunny Arizona. But this is a problem, is when you lose good men and women in uniform and in power or position of authority, you know, you get replaced with people that are compromised in their morals, and they'll just do what they're told to do, right? And it's just sad to see.
Well, that is the goal, right? That's the goal of the, that's the agenda, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago, I think it was AOC who said, who had introduced some sort of bill to require all law enforcement trainers to have a, is it a maximum amount of experience? In other words, if they had been a police officer for more than like 5 years or something like that, that they, she didn't want them to be allowed to be an FTO, a field training officer. Because, you know, you got these, I mean, I'm probably considered one of the salty old ones now, but, you know, they don't want these ideals passed down, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want the new, the fresh ones. So, I mean, it is what it is. And my reading this morning was very helpful to me, especially Zechariah chapter 14, because it showed me something that I needed to be reminded of, was that this is temporary. You know, we live in a temporal world, and Christ is coming back, and he'll set things right, that's for sure. And, you know, you and I both believe and teach that the rapture comes before that, and you know, the church is out of here before that. So I needed that encouragement this morning. I think I need that all the time. And that needs to be in the forefront of my brain as I go out and work, because there's those that aren't ready for it, man. They're living life like, oh, we're going back to normal. Yeah, we're going back to normal now. It's all good. We're going to go back to normal. Like, hold on a second. You see what Russia's doing, right? You know that Russia is Rosh in the Bible. They are Magog, okay? They're getting ready. You know, you spoke of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36 and 37 already happened, okay? That happened. 38 will also happen. And it's coming real soon, I think. You know, especially with everything going on in Syria right now. Iran's nuclear capable. And now they get lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to stop them? Nothing. Nothing's going to stop them except for God, when Russia ends up on the border of Israel, ready to attack. Russia, Turkey, Iran. You notice Turkey hasn't made one sound in all of this, and they are the largest NATO military in Europe. They have the largest military as a part of NATO in Europe, I believe. And they haven't said a darn thing about Russia being on Ukraine's border. Isn't it interesting how they have aligned now? So, yeah, just a reminder, keep looking up. Spiritual warfare is insane right now, but that's because the devil knows. And if he knows, maybe you and I should pay a little bit of attention.
So. Well, you know, Paul says what we ought to be redeeming the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there, you know, not only are there daily things that distract us, you know, being a husband, being a father, you know, and being an employee somewhere. And on top of that, it's part of life. You know, where Satan's doing a good job is he's distracting the church in so many ways. And what's sad is, you know, when I hear of fellow pastors who refuse to teach on prophecy or talk about it, at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, 1/3 of the Bible is prophetic? And so, you know, and speaking from a perspective of being an expositional style of teaching pastor, well, you can't just pick and choose what you're going to teach.
Yeah.
Pastor Chuck Smith, who's the founder of Calvary Chapel, said, simply teach the Bible, simply. Right, from Genesis to Revelation, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So you have to teach on prophecy.
Yeah.
And some of these teachers, these Bible pastors that don't teach on prophecy or don't teach on end times, I would highly encourage them to step down. You know, go do something else, because you're failing to lack. You're failing to equip the church, right?
Yeah.
Paul says,
yeah,
we ought to be equipping the church.
Either step down or step up.
Yeah, do one of those. You know, preferably step up.
Yeah.
And do that, because, you know, we need pastors that know how to put on the whole armor of God and fight.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, we talked about this in the past. How many cops and firefighters and soldiers, they wear their uniform, but when it comes to when rubber meets the road and we have to take action, they're like, I don't know if I want to do this career anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and it, most of the time, I think police officers, they do that because they have a type A personality, you know, and outside of all the dumb interview questions, oh, why do you want to be a cop? Because I want to serve the public, you know? And then you got the real guys. You're like, I want to shoot bad guys. Cool. I'd rather take that answer than the guy's like, oh, I want to serve the public, you know, because, you know, you hear of wartime stories and wartime, you know, events when soldiers who joined the military, but when it actually came time to go to war, they were fearful,
mm-hmm.
you know, even in during the Civil War, the guys that carried the muskets with the bayonets and stuff, the ammos were never fired. Right? And they said that, like, there was no blood on the bayonets either. And so they didn't even use that to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to see a lot of that. I think there's going to be a lot of Christians that, you know, are going to become weak and succumb to temptation and succumb to the wiles of the enemy. I think there's going to be cops and firefighters, soldiers that are going to go woke.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad. You know, I think that's going to happen in family members.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before, even in our own blood. It's like, you know, well, if we could see Jesus's own blood, kind of like, we know Jesus. He's not the Messiah. And then he dies on the cross, rises again. He's like, oh, shoot.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Messiah.
Yeah. Right?
So we know even within, you know, the bloodline, in the sense of Jesus's family,
yeah.
there's that possibility to deny. I think there's going to be, in the last days, of guys that are, they're going to become weak. And like you said, you're reminded to keep your eyes on Jesus and redeem the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I just remember Pastor Chuck always saying, Lord, here's my agenda today, but I welcome your interruption. And we ought not to be so busy that we don't lose sight of the sense of the Holy Spirit leading us to do something. More than that, it's like, cool, I'm busy about what the Lord asked me to do, but I'm also welcoming his rapture. You know, and I think that's important. You know, I think you hit it on the nail when you said, you know, to look up. And I've been telling my church, I was like, abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Whether reading the word, listening to Bible studies, listening to worship music, you know, going to prayer meetings, fellowshipping, and abiding in Jesus Christ. You know, because it's a promise of God. It's a promise of Jesus. If you abide in me, I will abide in you.
Yeah.
And I love that because I'm kind of dumb. I'm kind of stubborn. But I know that if I read the Bible, God's going to abide in me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have to be the one that's going to partake of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And because how many times have you arrested somebody and you're willing to go out of your way to help this person out? And you kind of do almost everything for them, except they need to do it. They need to take action. You know, what is it in James? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. And I think, like you said, Satan is getting ready to, you know, to do what he can, because his time's drawing near.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but the problem is, I don't think the Christians, the ones that call themselves Christians, are really preparing themselves. You know, and I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll find out. You know, it's been said there's three major surprises when we get to heaven. The people you thought would be there that aren't there. The people you didn't think would be there that are there. And you're there. So, yeah, Lord, thank you for this conversation. We pray that it blesses the listener, as it has blessed Mike and I. And, Lord, in these crazy times with the enemy seemingly on a longer leash, we ask that your grace, Lord, would be poured out on us, that your mercy would be poured out on us, and that you would strengthen your saints for these last days. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, man. Good chat. Short Maybe next one. Week we'll have an actual topic, but who cares? This is good. I like this. So, all right, folks. Hey, we'll see you next time.
Bye.